Think on your feet for our Fast and Curious 5K, a one-of-a-kind race hosted by WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times on Saturday, July 27th at Humboldt Park. More info and early bird registration at wbez.org/events.
What's up, Chicago? I'm Erin Allen, and this is The Rundown. Okay, so this is going to be hard to do, but try to imagine for me, what would the world look like without art? I mean, what would the room you're in right now look like without art? Makita Easter is an artist, a dancer, and a journalist who also cannot conjure up in her mind what an artless world would look like. Because it's either impossible or it's just depressing.
I think our society kind of thinks of art as like really frivolous, but like this country wouldn't look like anything if there were no artists. Like You can't even imagine like there's no art. Like, I don't know. I'm not going to
like,
say
what are clothes?
Right. What is anything?
Like, what is hair? Like, what is anything? Exactly.
Right.
What is anything?
Like, you can't picture it.
A few years ago, Makita got this idea to start her own online platform for reporting on and centering artists. It's called The Art Rebellion.
It's a journalism publication, but also it's centered on artists and communities that are often like left out of mainstream media. Activist art, so artists who are using their work to create change in their communities. And just using my platform or using the Art Rebellion as a way to kind of advocate for like how essential artists are in our society. So there's kind of a lot of stuff in there, but Those are the types of stories that I report on.
I invited her on the show to talk about what she's doing and why she's doing it. We talk about how her work lives within the world of activist journalism. And we get into one of her most ambitious projects, the Artist Pay Project, which documents how much artists are making in different cities. Spoiler, the struggle is real. But we're going to start off with Makita explaining why she created the Art Rebellion.
I used to work for the LA Times. I was an arts journalist. Mm-hmm. And the Art Rebellion was really born out of my experience working for a mainstream legacy newspaper and like the disparities that I saw in the way that we covered the arts and just how few arts publications are left. The ones that are around typically are spotlighting artists that already have like PR teams and have done a lot of work in New York and LA. But there's so many other artists everywhere else in the country. And I've been particularly fascinated by artists who are working in communities that may not have the same level of support for the arts, like a New York or an LA.
Tell me about some of those regions. Like, where is it? Just anywhere that's not New York or LA? Or like, are you like, let's do the Midwest, let's do the South. Like, yeah, how are you thinking about that?
Yeah, I've been trying to look everywhere, to be honest. I've talked to artists in Ohio, talked to artists in Chicago, across the South. It's kind of all over the place.
Yeah. All right. When people hear this title, The Art Rebellion, and they see that it's a journalistic endeavor, the term activist journalism might come to mind. And I wonder how you think about that term when it comes to your work.
So I think, yeah, my experience at a legacy newspaper really informed the work that I wanted to do. And when I was working at the newspaper at LA Times, you couldn't call yourself an activist journalist because there was this idea of objectivity or neutrality, even though I've always been like that. To me, that doesn't exist. But working at a place that strives for that, you come into some like really intense points of contention.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean? What do you mean by that? That doesn't exist.
That like no one is neutral. We all come from a point of view. We all have a perspective, and that perspective of like our worldview, how we've grown up, like our beliefs, that seeps into the work, whether you want it to or not. Like, I personally believe that no one is unbiased, like we're all biased. And so when you talk about like activist journalism, leaving mainstream media has allowed me to be more like vocal about that, that my work is in service to collective liberation and like movements for justice and peace and that kind of stuff. So I can be more out loud about it, where at a legacy newspaper, you may have those thoughts, but you could never really say that because then you would get questioned or, you know, reprimanded or something like that. So
do you feel like you would call your work activist journalism?
I would say it's striving for that. I would say that I'm still learning a lot about like organizing communities, like activist communities. So I personally don't feel comfortable yet calling myself that. But I think my work leans that way. And the more I learn and the more I do, I think the more radical that I become and hopefully my work becomes.
Yeah. You know, it's so interesting to think about that word radical, because so much of what is considered radical feels like it should be very normal.
Agreed.
Like Black Lives Matter, for instance.
Yeah.
You talked to Patrice Cullors, who is one of the co-founders of the Black Lives Matter movement. And in this most recent interview that you did with them, they said that so many activists are also artists.
Some of us who are and spent a lot of time inside movement and activism spaces are artists. A lot of us, actually.
Do you find that to be true? Does that resonate?
That was also, I think, one of the things that led me to create the Art Rebellion, was just noticing that so many artists were involved in so many different movements. Mm. I think, generally speaking, a lot of people don't realize that. They think of artists as like, oh, maybe they just make things pretty, or I think our society kind of thinks of art as like really frivolous, but like artists are essential to all of like the good things that we've had that's happened in this country and I think in the world. Like maybe, you know, it's not publicized that way, but yeah, I find that artists are doing like really, really important work and are really pushing things forward in our society.
Mm. Do you ever feel like when you're coming across these artists who are activists that they have to choose one? Like they have to be like, I need to put my art down in order to do this activist thing, or I need to use my art to take a break from my activism work.
Yeah, Patrice talked a bit about that, because she's like in this moment of, I don't want to say rebranding, but she talked to me about she's being more like forward with the art versus the organizing. Mm-hmm. And for her specifically, I mean, with the Black Lives Matter movement, she said that she felt like she had to put her art a little to the side to kind of go all in on Black Lives Matter.
Our art was neglected because there was something that we felt was more urgent. The way we were to be used was more urgent and during that time.
But now, like, she's returning to her art, also doing, like, activist work. But the making, the act of making is a lot more central to the work she's doing right now.
Hmm. As a dancer and as an artist yourself, like, what does that evoke for you when you see people that are doing both?
It's really exciting. I think I've kept the two very separate for myself. Like, my career in journalism is one thing, and then the thing I do outside of work is dance. And I've kept them, like, almost like two very different lives, where a lot of people who I worked with in journalism didn't really even know that I danced at all.
Yeah.
And, like, the people I danced with, they knew I worked, but, like, didn't know as much about my work. And so I'm in this really interesting point right now in my life where I'm trying to figure out ways to kind of, like, meld the two.
Hmm.
And I think that all these different pieces or, like, facets of my identity or the things that I love are kind of coming together. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so refreshing to hear that as a person who also, like, interviews people for a living. I'm always thinking about, too, like, but I'm also, like, a visual artist and, you know, I like to, like, write poetry. Like, how can I, like,
yeah,
bring this in? You know, it's always knocking at the door to come out. Yeah. So, yeah, let's talk about the Artist Pay Project. What is it?
The Artist Pay Project is a new-ish series of stories that I'm doing that's focused on just shedding light on how much artists are making, how they're making ends meet. I've done about close to 30 of these surveys, artists across the country of different disciplines. So, like, dancers, people in theater, people who are visual artists. There's people in LA. There's also people in Chicago, Detroit. And so my idea with this project, it's in line with, like, these movements for pay transparency more generally.
Mm-hmm.
But in the arts, most of the people I've talked to with the survey are struggling. I think the only person I surveyed who was doing pretty well, or one of the only people, was a tenured professor. But then there's people who are, like, who've had to make really tough decisions about, do I get health insurance? A lot of people said that actually, like, they don't have health insurance. It's not feasible with making art. There's someone who, like, left their job at an agency. She's a mural artist, yeah, when I talked to her, she's like, it's really, really tough. Like, I'm not making nearly what I made before. I'm happier, but I also, like, have made a lot of sacrifices. And so that's kind of the general gist of what I've heard from everyone I've talked to, is that they're, like, barely making it, regardless of where they are in the country. And it's just, like, really sad. I think it goes back to one of my main goals with my with the Art Rebellion is kind of showing how essential artists are. And so, like, with the Artist Pay Project, I do want it to be, like, an advocacy kind of piece of, like, showing people artists need to be paid more. Like, we need to respect them as workers, not just as people who make pretty things. They work. Their work is valuable. They should be paid as such. There's a lot of obscurity and, like, art field journalism, but also the arts of, like, how much do people make? Like, people don't even know what to ask for because people don't talk about it. So I'm hoping that the series is really helpful to artists that can look and see how are people making ends meet, and maybe I can ask for more money, or maybe I can try to negotiate.
Yeah, I mean, looking at some of the profiles, like, the financial situation of these artists, it's presented in very clear terms on the site, right? You have the Q&A, what are your expenses? What is your income? Who supports you? I thought that was really interesting because, you know, we're looking at people and they're, like, paying rent and eating, and they're, like, a freelance artist. And it's like, you assume that they're supporting themselves because maybe that's what your situation is. But, like, a lot of folks do have family supporting them. Why is it important to frame things so explicitly?
Yeah, I think, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. Everyone's situation is very different. And I think we tend to compare ourselves with others.
Yes.
You know, this person, how are they this far in their career? How do they, like, have this, you know, seemingly really nice lifestyle? And I'm over here, like, can barely afford food. I think it's important to put the full, and it's, like, hard to do that in one single story, but just, like, try to add context to people's lives. The story actually kind of, like, an inkling of the story, I think, began when I lived in L.A. And I wondered, like, how are people making ends meet? I started at the L.A. Times on a fellowship and was paid. I started at a $40,000 salary, which is really low for L.A. But I lived with my now husband, and we split expenses. I had savings from when I worked in another job. But then I met all these people, and I was honestly just curious, like, how are they making it work here? Like, their place is way nicer than mine.
Yeah.
They're freelance artists. And this was, it was just kind of, I think that was a starting point. And then I started thinking about it more deeply. And then we've, as a society, have had more conversations about pay and pay equity. So, yeah, I think trying to add all that context, I think it helps. Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if you can talk about what the industry would need to look like, you know, maybe in terms of artist pay, right? In order for artists to live abundantly and freely as a norm, right? Like, not as an anomaly.
Yeah, that's tough because I think we'd have to shift, I mean, capitalism.
And okay. So,
but I did ask.
Like, hegemony change.
Right.
Like, paradigm shift.
Right. I did ask this similar question to one artist. And he said, like, there's, like, this mysticism around creation in our country. And, like, people tend to think, like, art just gets made, but they don't understand, like, the work that goes into creating the art. And so, like, kind of, like, shifting, and I don't know how you do that on a large scale, but shifting people's mindsets of, like, understanding, you know, if you're paying a consultant or you're paying, like, a plumber or a teacher, like, people who are artists are also workers as well. And they deserve to be able to live, because this country wouldn't look like anything if there were no artists. Like, you can't even imagine, like, there's no art, like, I don't know. I'm not going to,
like,
say
what are clothes?
Right. What is anything?
Like, what is hair? Like, what?
Right.
Like, what is anything? Exactly.
Right.
What is anything?
So, yeah. It's like, I'm trying to, like,
bars.
Picture it, but I can't, like, you can't picture it. And so I think, like, what he said was, like, I totally agreed. I never thought about it like that, like, shifting mindsets. I think there's some really interesting programs across the country that are, like, guaranteed income for artists. And they're really great. I mean, they, you know, it's maybe like 15, 20 people a year who are getting these guaranteed incomes. But I do think guaranteed income in general, not just for artists, but for like everyone, I don't know, like helping everyone will help artists. So it's kind of, it's hard to like talk about artists specifically. I mean, I think if we're going into the arts, like, yeah, when you hire an artist, pay them on time. Artists like
on time. Can we just repeat that, please? Because
no, it's
don't
so
take
real.
Too much.
And I've experienced that, like in journalism, just yes. like begging for your paycheck. It shouldn't be like that.
It's absurd.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot that needs to change. I think we all need to be making a living wage, and if everyone in this country got a living wage, then like the art would benefit from that. Everyone deserves health care. Sorry, it's going like very overarching, but
no,
yeah.
Yeah, that's a question. Yeah. That's my last question. Is there anything else that you want to talk about?
If you have listeners who know journalists or just think about supporting them financially if you have the means to, because it's really helpful. And yeah, it's tough out here. So support good journalism because it matters. And yeah, I'm a journalist, so of course I'm saying that. But yeah, support your people, support artists. I think that's all I'll say. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. A good word goes a long way, but financial support goes even further. Makeda Easter is an arts journalist and a creative. Makeda, thank you.
Thanks so much for having me. This was great.
You can find Makeda's reporting, including the Artist Pay Project, at theartrebellion.net. And that's it for today. Thank you to Justin Bull and Sarah Stark for producing the show, and to Ariel Van Cleve for editing. Brendan Banaszak is our executive producer. The Rundown is produced by WBEZ Chicago and is a part of the NPR network. I'm Erin Allen. Thank you for listening. I'll talk to you later.